commentary is Arsenal against Leicester City. That's the 3 o'clock kickoff, and Sports Report at five. So we've got you covered sporting wise this afternoon, and we'll be back tomorrow morning.
We will. We'll be with you from 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, as we always are on a Sunday, but stay with us. Patrick Keelty will be keeping you company next. Have a good one.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
With the BBC News on 5 Live, I'm Giuliano Cazaday. There's been more explosions in Beirut overnight and this morning, with Israeli warplanes launching a wave of attacks on the Lebanese capital. The initial strikes in the south of the city are believed to have targeted Hezbollah's leader Hassan Nasrallah. It's not yet known if he was in the buildings that were hit, but at least six people were killed. Sabine Abiad works for ActionAid in Beirut.
It's now becoming dangerous to live in Beirut and also other parts of Lebanon. Some shops are closed, educational institutions are closed, so the daily life is not easy anymore. And I can tell you, everyone in Lebanon is terrified.
Daniel Hagari is a spokesman for the Israeli military.
After almost a year of Hezbollah firing rockets, missiles, and suicide drones at Israeli civilians, after almost a year of Israel warning the world and telling them that Hezbollah must be stopped, Israel is doing what every sovereign state in the world would do if they had a terror organization that seeks their destruction on their border.
In other news, Ukraine says Russian airstrikes have killed six people after a medical facility in the northeastern city of Sumy was hit. Several floors of the hospital were destroyed. Mohammed Al-Fayed's youngest son has released a statement saying he's horrified by allegations of sexual abuse made against his late father. Dozens of women have accused the former Harrods owner of multiple rapes and sexual assaults. More than 40 people have been killed across five southeastern US states after Hurricane Helene left a trail of destruction. It made landfall in Florida and was most deadly in South Carolina, where 17 people lost their lives. A former head of the financial watchdog, the FCA, says banking hubs must do more to offer a greater range of services. Charles Rundell, who's now a member of the Financial Inclusion Commission, which aims to widen access to banking, says it's not enough to just help people pay their bills. He's told Moneybox on Radio 4 that as branches close, the hubs need to do more for customers.
Getting online, crucially from avoiding scams, problems with powers of attorney, possibly probate issues, and they may need signposting to other services to maximise their pension, to get money advice. So I think there's huge potential for the hubs to go beyond just support to customers in pure banking matters.
Those are your news headlines. Nick Hatton has the sport now.
Thank you. We'll start with that breaking news that the World Anti-Doping Agency has appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sport against an independent tribunal's decision in August to clear the world men's tennis number one Jannik Sinner of wrongdoing after he failed drugs tests. WADA say the tribunal's finding of no fault or negligence was not correct under the applicable rules and that it would seek a period of ineligibility between one and two years, for Sinner, who won both the Australian Open and the US Open this year. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola says he's been provoked into a more intense rivalry with Arsenal as the fallout continues from their Premier League clash at the Etihad Stadium last weekend. City grabbing an injury time equaliser against 10-man Arsenal. And responding to Arsenal defender Gabriel's claim after the game, calling it a battle and a war, Guardiola said, "You want a war, now we war." City go to Newcastle in the lunchtime kickoff. We'll have updates in 5 Live Sport from midday. From 3 o'clock, we'll be at the Emirates for commentary of Arsenal versus Leicester. Then at 5:30 you can hear Wolves versus Liverpool. And Lee Leopards head coach Adrian Lammers hailed his side's performance as they reached their first ever Super League playoff semi-final. It's after victory over Salford last night. Tonight Warrington hosts St Helens in their eliminator. You can hear commentary on 5 Sports Extra from 5:15.
On BBC iPlayer.
He's our dog.
We made a mistake.
Please. Not anymore, he's not, mate. Wake up.
The new series of Colin from Accounts.
Do we even need a pet?
We've got other stuff in common.
Do we?
What is your favourite kind of music?
Bubble grunge.
What is that?
Watch on BBC iPlayer.
This is 5 Live.
Saturday morning with Patrick Keelty.
good morning, folks. There you are. Welcome to the show. Oh, it's going to be a wee stretch. Oh, and breathe and relax. Early morning stretch there for us. It is Saturday, the 28th of September, 2024. You're stuck with us for the next 2 hours. Lots going on today. 7 Premier League games on Saturday. We're going to be talking to Ian Dennis all about those very soon. Final weekend of the county championships. There's a chill in the air. Has that gone on a little bit too long? I'm thinking. That's for a cricket. Rugby League, Super League Eliminator, Warrington Wolves against St Helens. And on our little show before 11 o'clock, lots of fun stuff. This is what we have before 11 o'clock. We're going to be joined by the magnificent Pixie Lott. This is How You Feel Old. 15 years after making her debut. Oh, where's that gone? The multi-platinum selling and award-winning singer is back with a new album. It's been 10 years since her last album. This one's amazing. We're going to be chatting to her about her new music, her new single. Also a big West Ham fan. So we're going to be clearing the decks and we're going to be playing a little game of football traders with Pixie to see if she can identify the fake West Ham fan. We also have Jessica Knappett on the show. Jessica is the creator, the star of the E4 sitcom Drifters, and has graced our screens in the likes of the Inbetweeners movie and Avoidance alongside Ramesh Ranganathan. She's got a brand new podcast that's called Perfect Day. What would her perfect day be, Jill? Jill behind the glass has just said sleep with a look that suggests she already is. That's what this show does to you, Jill. We're going to be chatting to Jessica Knappett at 9:45. And we will be speaking to Dermot O'Leary, my neighbour Dermot. Is he national treasure status now? I think it just goes up, doesn't it? It goes up in little levels. I think he's ding, ding, ding. He's now hit national treasure, award-winning presenter. Everything from X Factor to This Morning. But this morning, he's going to be popping across after his Radio 2 show to tell us all about his TV show, Dermot's Taste of Ireland. It's so good. This is where Dermot basically goes around Ireland and pretends that most things you taste in Ireland don't come in liquid form. It would be a very short series if I was hosting that. Give us your taste of Ireland, Paddy. Well, this is how you pour it. His latest kids' book, Spy Fox and the Agent Feathers. I think he's written this because there's a fox not far from our house. Dermot doesn't live that far from me. And it's quite a brave fox. City Fox. Has he written the book about the fox? We're going to be finding that out. Dermot will be joining us 10:15. We've also got Beat the Commentators. A 13-year-old from Belfast takes on John Murray. And we will be joined by Gemma Hayes in the Five Live Lounge. She sounds like this. This is Gemma Hayes, new single, Hardwired. We're going to be testing Gemma in the Five Live Lounge just before 11 o'clock. It's very simple, folks. Just give us your favourite football chants. Our musical guests will put their own spin on them. This is what happened last week when Hattie Whitehead sang this song for Arsenal women's Mariona Caldente.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, baby, now. take on my working on out, working on out. Shake it, count and ten now.
Dermot O'Leary, big Gunner fan, will be asking Dermot, does he know Shake It Caldente when he comes on the show after 10 o'clock? We also want to hear from you today. We want to let you, want to hear from you. Where are you off to today? Who's your team? Who's on the trip? What team are you managing? What team are you playing for? What are the snacks? What are the drinks? What's the win bonus? Give us a shout. 08085 909 693. A huge day of sport coming up here on Five Live.
Gotta see the Arsenal play to some Arsenal. Let's see the Arsenal showing them how. Come on, you Arsenal. Yeah, you're the hunter. Keep telling us we're boring. We'll just keep on scoring now.
We've gone. I mean, that's probably enough of that, to be honest. Chappers will be here from midday with a Five Live Sport update from lunchtime. Newcastle United against City, then it's Wolves, Liverpool at 5:30. John Murray, Andy Reid, 3 p.m. Our live commentary base is the Emirates. Pat Nevin will be at Arsenal versus Leicester City. The man on the mic will be Ian Dennis. Good morning, Denno. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Paddy. I'm very well. How are you doing?
I am good. It sounds like you're slightly further away than we think you are. Where are you this morning? Are you having a little cheeky cup of tea there, Denno?
Well, what were you saying about having a little nap?
Yes. Okay. Have you done that thing, Denno, that people do whenever somebody rings you first thing in the morning? You're completely asleep. Then you put your voice 2 octaves higher than it normally is. No, I'm up. And you're not really.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not really a morning person. So I can get a phone call at about midday.
Yes.
And somebody will say, have I just woken you up? So it takes a while for my, for my voice to get going on the morning. So I'm not really, you know, you'll speak to John Murray in about an hour's time. He'll be full of, you know, springs of joy and all that, but no, takes me a while to get going.
So how does it work? I mean, if you're commentating on a game, at what point do you start talking to people during that day to try to get the finely tuned 5-star voice that you have on the radio but to pitch perfect?
Probably about 5 to 3.
It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. You're going to be commentating on Arsenal-Leicester today. Strange week for the Arsenal?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'll see what Dermot thinks about this when you speak to him a little bit later on. But they've taken a lot of flack of late for, you know, about, you know, the dark arts and how they performed at Manchester City. Bearing in mind they were down to 10 men for a large part of that game.
Yes.
I thought that all of a sudden Arsenal have got in the past they used to say, oh, they've got a soft underbelly. And now you look at their form away from home in Europe and also domestically. I don't think they've lost actually in 2024 in their travels. They are now a really resilient side under Mikel Arteta. And they've been away to Tottenham.
I thought so. Whenever Erling Haaland, you know, threw that ball, I felt that didn't take a fizz out of them.
I think that is a clear indication that Arsenal have rattled Manchester City, and Manchester City know that they're in for another fight for the title. So I think from an Arsenal point of view, it should all be complimentary because they've been away to Tottenham, they've been away to Atalanta, which wasn't an easy game in the Champions League, and away to Manchester City, and they've they're still unbeaten. So Mikel Arteta, I think, should now be harnessing the positives. They've got some home games coming up now, which gives them a platform to build both in the Premier League and the Champions League. So, it should be a relatively comfortable win for them, I think, today.
In football, Denno, it's the hope that kills you. I'm going to ask a question here that if any Arsenal supporters are listening, they're either going to get giddy or the disappointment's already going to kick in. With Rodri now injured, are Arsenal title favourites?
I wouldn't say they're favourites, but at the start of the season, even when Rodri was fit, I still felt, and I know many others felt the same as well, and it's only an opinion, but I always thought that Arsenal would win the title this year anyway.
Wow.
So I just think that the way that they progress season upon season under Mikel Arteta, and they were very, very close last year, but obviously the fact that Rodri's missing for Manchester City is a huge blow because we all know about his influence, and we'll see how they fare at Newcastle in that early game today.
Okay, let's go to the other end of the table. Leicester struggling for points. Steve Cooper coming in for a bit of stick. Wolves sitting at the bottom of the table. Who's in more trouble? Is it Howard Dealey, the father-in-law's team, Wolves, or is it Gary Lineker's team, Leicester?
Today, I would go with Wolves because there's a virus in the camp. So I hope Howard hasn't been getting too close to that at Molyneux, because we wouldn't want Howard picking up the virus as well. But
now, what type of virus? Can that be cured with Control Alt Delete? No,
no.
Turn it on and off.
Yeah. Pull the plug out. Leave it for 10 seconds. Put it back in.
Okay. And with that, Wolves win 3-0 at Arsenal. So they're all sicky bad. Is that right?
Yeah. There's talk of a youngster called, I think, is it Alfie Pond, coming into the defence for Wolves today. So
that's a name, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Alfie Pond.
Hoping to make a splash, I believe.
Thrown in at the deep end.
Hey! Oh, Ian Dennis, the voice doesn't wake up to 12. The brain is awake from 6 a.m. Here, I want to ask you about this. Richard Osmond tweeted early in the week I was at a signing last night at a book launch and somebody called Chelsea Norwich was there. Does anybody have any other names which are essentially a fourth round Carabao Cup tie? It's niche, this, isn't it?
Well, it's funny, you know, when Sammy told me about this yesterday and I hadn't seen that, but I had received sort of like a caption from one of my mates, Mike, on WhatsApp about Americans who sound like Carabao Cup ties.
Mm.
And there was Charlton Bradford.
Charlton Bradford in defence.
You know, one for the kids. He could have been starring in Dynasty all those years ago, or Gone for the Wind.
Yes.
Forrest Bromley.
Run, Forrest, run.
Lester Bolton. Chelsea Fleetwood. Lincoln Burnley. And Burton Preston. I'm going to say Burton Preston's got a nice ring to it.
Lincoln Burnley, it just sounds like a chicken in a loony in a cartoon. I say boy. And then, of course, FC20 fans made the most of their trip to Manchester. Many of them went to the Etihad the night before. And did you read about this?
I didn't know.
So apparently the FC20 fans arrived early for their Europa League match with United. And so they just decided, for the crack, they would also head to the City Watford Carabao Cup match the night before and just started singing FC20 songs in the middle of the game. that's what set them up for their incredible 1-1 win.
Dear,
we got beaten 1-1, Denno. So
Well, let's see how they go. I think we've got commentary of that one tomorrow. Actually, in fact, John's doing overtime this weekend.
Okay,
he's with you in an hour.
Yep,
he's at Wolves Liverpool for our commentary at 5:30, and then he's behind the mic tomorrow. So I hope his voice is all right in the morning.
We'll switch him on and off again tomorrow morning. We'll get him sorted out. Denno, thank you so much for joining us. Live commentary, Arsenal versus Leicester City with Ian, is on 5 Live at 3 p.m. I'm gonna make it. You're listening to the sound of Pixie Lott. This is Midnight Trash from her fourth studio album called Encino. She is an award-winning and multi-platinum selling singer, a songwriter, an actress, a dancer. She's worked with Stevie Wonder, Jason Derulo and Lionel Richie, and yet she's lowered her standard to join me this morning. Good morning, Pixie. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing really good, thank you. How are you doing?
This is good. You see, you've got a morning voice, Pixie. You're not doing that Ian Dennis thing, which is, I'm going to go on the radio and I still haven't woke up. You're up with it, yeah?
I'm up with it. I've been up. It's actually my little baby's first birthday today.
Oh, cute, cute. So what's your baby called?
He's called Albert, but we call him Bertie.
Oh. Like Birdie Bassett, because he's sweet.
Yeah.
And so what time did Birdie get up this morning, or did Birdie just decide because it was his birthday maybe just to get up a few times in the night to get the party started early?
You exactly got it. So we had a few little wake-ups throughout the night, which is his usual vibe, really. Bit of a party animal. But then he properly woke up this morning at about 8, so that wasn't too bad.
I mean, eight with a one-year-old Bubsy. I mean, that's a win-win. So, so whenever he wakes up in the night then, what's your techniques to get him back over? Is it a wee snug? Do you tell him a wee story? How does it work?
I kind of mix it up, but basically the best thing is milk, really.
Mm.
And then that's the quickest way for us both to get back to sleep.
It's like, I love you. I know you love me, but I know you love the milk more. Have the milk. Go to sleep. See you in the morning, Birdie.
That's the number one.
Amazing. Okay, so that's what you're doing. Congratulations on Birdie's birthday today. Congratulations on this new record. I mean, I was trying, this can't be right. 10 years since your last album.
Yeah, it's mad. I don't even know how that happened, but it did. Time flies when you're having fun. I've been doing lots of different projects and still like writing songs behind the scenes and releasing demos and features. And I've been doing like acting projects, and I was doing The Voice Kids for the last 7 years as well. But in the meantime, I was writing this album. I've been writing this album for 5 years. Which is crazy, but I just really wanted to make a full body of work and really take my time on it and make it very cohesive. And it's a very organic, authentic, real, raw body of work, really. And I kind of was just craving making an album like that. And it, requires just taking time and like crafting it over a period of years, which ended up being five years. But I'm just so happy that it came out yesterday and that now it's finally out, because it means so much to me.
It's that thing, isn't it? You know, whenever you're doing so much stuff that we just assume there has to have been an album there, but listening to you in your head, it's if I'm putting an album out, it has to be the start, middle and end. This record has to sort of reflect what's going on and tell a story and all of those things. And so that's why it's taken so long.
Exactly. That's the thing. And like the whole reason I started this album was I actually started it as a side project, a passion project on the side, just for myself. And then I was like, God, I love doing this kind of music so much. I've always wanted to make an album like this, but there wasn't anyone who was kind of like pushing me in that direction. And so I was like, okay, if I don't do this for myself, it's like now or never, I've got to do it. So I kind of just like took a bit of a leap of faith and went out on my own and had no team whatsoever and just put the music first and was like, I'm going to focus just on this, make this what I want it to be. And then before I put it out, and that's exactly what we did. And it's called Encino because we made the whole thing in Encino in California. Apart from the lockdown, then we had to figure out a way to do it from the bedroom to California. And then once it opened back up again, then I could scoot back over there.
Okay. So when you say Encino, talk to me. Where were you from Ventura Boulevard?
Oh gosh, my sense of direction sucks. I've got no idea.
Can I just say the fact that you said that my sense of direction sucks proves that you were in California for the amount of time that you said it. My sense of direction, it so sucks.
It sucks, man.
It so sucks. So Encino, I used to live in Los Angeles. I'm not going to lie. You go over, you go down Mulholland, you go down into Ventura, into Encino. It's hot. It is hot in Encino.
It's very hot. Yeah, but we were in the studio the whole time. There's a little garden area where we could write little ditties, but most of the time we were in the studio. Whereabouts in Los Angeles were you?
We were over on the other side. We were just in Beverly Hills, just on the.
Oh, love Beverly Hills.
Yeah. So we were doing that, and the missus was doing TV over there, and you were doing your album down in Encino. And did that give it more of an American sound, or do you just feel I've got my sound wherever I am?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. There is a little, because it's very, the sound is very grassroots. It's very, like I said, organic and all about the live musicians and the storytelling. So I think that is quite an Americana vibe anyway. So it probably does have a little bit of that flavour. But to be honest, the most important thing was just the honesty, and whatever felt the most like real was what came first. So we were actually listening to a lot of 70s inspiration as well, like bands and singer-songwriters like Fleetwood Mac and Joni Mitchell, and just proper storytellers where, you know, you really focus on the lyrics and the delivery, and so that's the kind of inspo behind it.
And it's also that thing, isn't there, that whenever you're in LA and you know that Laurel Canyon isn't that far away, and you know that all those, you know, amazing singer-songwriters just used to hang out in that road just not far from Encino, and you tune into it, you think, wow, okay, I get the vibe that they were getting.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think there was a lot of music made in Encino, actually. When I've Googled it since, loads of like amazing artists pop up. But we actually, the studio was in Encino, but when we were down there, we were staying in a little beach shack on Malibu Beach.
Oh, now you're talking, missus. Now you're talking. Pretending you were in a studio in Encino, and it was such hard work. And then just to 7 minutes in, it's like, anyway, let me tell you about hanging out in Malibu Boo.
No, but it was only a little hut, like a very tiny little hut on the beach. So it wasn't that glamorous. But just to be in the sand and the sea, like in the morning, to hear the waves, I actually fell in love with it. And it was really peaceful there. Like, you know how crazy like West Hollywood is, and you go and it's all buzzing and all going on. But then when you drive out to Malibu in the evening, it's...
You drive out there, you get yourself down to the sunset, the little beach shack there, just down on the beach, and the sun's going down, and you might have a wee salty margarita.
Oh, so nice. And we would catch the sunrise because of the jet lag. We'd be up early. And I'd never catch the sunrise usually, unless obviously Bertie's waking me up. But because of the jet lag over there, we always caught the sunrise. So that was so special. And then drive over to Encino. And actually, out there as well is when I really got into meditation. And so I'd wake up, do that, and then go to the studio. And I was in such a zone for making the album.
Now, can you help me out with meditation? Because whenever I try to meditate, I drift over. I just have a wee snooze. What's the difference between deep meditation and snoring?
You know what they say? They actually say if you do fall asleep, it's a good sign, because it means that you're just so relaxed and your body needs it. And so even if you have fallen asleep, you're still doing it. You're still doing the job.
Okay.
So don't worry.
So is this what you do then when you're trying to feed Birdie in the middle of the night? You're essentially just trying to meditate. Is that it?
Exactly.
Birdie, just go back to meditation for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. So I'm just always trying to find that. Any sleep, any meditation, I'll take.
Okay, we got lots of texts, lots of stuff coming in for you here, Pixie. We're going to try to get through as many of them as we can. You're also a huge West Ham fan.
Yes, up the Amers.
Up the Amers. So was it your dad was a Charlton fan and your mum was a Hammers fan?
Yeah, you got it. So I'm actually half and half. I keep it fair.
Now, do you ever go to see Charlton?
Yeah, I definitely I haven't been for a while, but I remember I went to, they had this massive game at Wembley when they went up. And it was incredible because there's so many Charlton fans. I was like blown away.
Huge, huge following down at the Valley. But we're going to be talking West Ham with you after the news. Pixies' Encino written and recorded album. It is out now, her fourth studio album. The latest single is called Midnight Trash. We're going to be talking to Pixie right after the latest news in sport. It's 9:30.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
With the BBC News on 5 Live, I'm Giuliano Cazaday. Some breaking news this hour. Israel says it's killed the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, after launching its biggest bombing campaign of Lebanon so far. There's been no independent confirmation yet. Our correspondent Hugo Bachega is in Beirut.
What we're seeing is that this is going to be a massive blow, obviously. And we've seen that this is, you know, this comes after a series of assassinations targeting key Hezbollah leaders and commanders over the last few weeks. And obviously, Hassan Nasrallah was the head of Hezbollah for decades. And don't forget that this is a powerful organization. It is much more than a militia. It is a political party here in Lebanon. It has representation in parliament. It is part of the government. So it is a huge blow for Hezbollah. And it is very difficult to see how they're going to, go forward and be able to organize any kind of response. Senior commanders have been killed. We've seen those attacks targeting the communications network of the group, which means that the group has difficulties in carrying out its communications. So it is a significant blow for Hezbollah, obviously. It is also a very dangerous and delicate moment for Lebanon because of Hezbollah's importance and relevance in this country.
It's obviously a fast-moving story. Let's go to our correspondent John Donison now, who's in Jerusalem.
Well, let me just tell you what's happening now. Just within the last few minutes, we've heard pretty loud explosions over Jerusalem. You can probably just make out a lone cloud in the sky there, and that looks to me like where a missile has been intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome missile defence shield. Reports from our team in Ramallah, which is just to the north of Jerusalem, hearing that they can hear the sirens going off there. We haven't had any sirens here in Jerusalem itself, but certainly the explosions we've heard just in the last few minutes are the loudest my team here says they've heard in Jerusalem in the last few days.
So for the latest updates on this throughout the morning, you can follow us here on 5 Live. You can listen to the BBC News live audio stream on BBC Sounds, or you can follow events on the live page on our BBC News website. Some other headlines for you. Officials in Ukraine say Russian airstrikes on a medical facility in the northeast of the country have killed 6 people. They said a drone attack destroyed several floors of a hospital in the city of Sumy. And several southeastern US states are seeing historic levels of floodwaters after Hurricane Helene hit the region. More than 45 people have died and roads have been turned into rivers. Just to recap, Israel says it's killed the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah. Some quotes coming from Israel. Israel said he would no longer be able to terrorize the world. Nasrallah, they say, who's led Hezbollah since 1992, has long been a target for Israel, and he has close ties to Iran and is revered among Hezbollah supporters. Those are quotes coming out of Israel. I'll just repeat it once again. Updates throughout the morning on this breaking story on the BBC News website. And my next bulletin is at 10 o'clock.
And this is Nick Hatton with your sport. We will start with some big news regarding this man.
Sinner has championship points. Forehand from Fritz. Forehand from Sinner. Fritz with a forehand into the net.
Yannick Sinner.
Yannick Sinner. Oh, comes along on the Arthur Ashe Stadium, just as they were in the Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne at the start of the year.
Yes, the World Anti-Doping Agency has appealed against the decision to clear world men's tennis number one Jannik Sinner of blame after he twice tested positive for a banned substance. WADA said the International Tennis Integrity Agency's decision to exonerate the Italian in August was not correct under the applicable rules. It has appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sport and says Sinner should be banned for between 1 and 2 years. There's more on this on the BBC Sport website. Now, the Premier League gets back underway this lunchtime. We'll bring you updates of the early kickoff at St James's Park as Newcastle hosts the leaders Manchester City. Newcastle boss Eddie Howe has challenged his side to bounce back from their disappointing defeat at Fulham last weekend.
I think we always need to deliver. I think there's always that pressure. But yes, I do. I think we have a responsibility to show our true selves, to turn up. And last week wasn't good enough. So that internal reflection can be really healthy. And sometimes a performance like that can be actually healthy for the long term if you use it in the right way. That's what we're trying to do.
Five Live Sport gets underway at midday. Our 3 o'clock commentary comes from the Emirates as Arsenal face Leicester. We'll also be around the grounds for a goal service. That includes being at Stamford Bridge as Chelsea take on Brighton this afternoon, looking for a fourth straight win in all competitions. Their manager Enzo Maresca welcoming some tough selection decisions given their recent run.
Pedro did well the other day. Misha did very well the other day. All of them, to be honest. Benoit did well. Axel, again, did well. Renato, I mean, Cesare, for me, he played a fantastic game the other day. So, yeah, it's important that when there is chance, even if 5 minutes or 10 minutes or half an hour or from the start, they give everything.
At 5.30, we'll be live from Molineux to bring you commentary of Wolves versus Liverpool. In cricket, England bowler Jofra Archer says they never felt like they were out of their one-day series with Australia, despite staring defeat in the face when they fell 2-0 down last Saturday. Yesterday's 186-run window at Lords in the fourth ODI levels the series at 2-2, heading into tomorrow's decider in Bristol.
It's a really, really good series. I think it's just built up for Sunday's final now, and hopefully, you know, we can do it coming from behind. I don't think we were out of any of the games we lost, to be honest. We were always there, thereabouts. And the team stuck together. And, you know, hopefully we can stick together for one more game.
And in Super League, we'll know the lineup for the playoff semi-finals this evening. After Lee beat Salford last night to book their last four place, tonight Warrington hosts St Helens. The Wolves head coach Sam Burgess is looking forward to a tough night.
I think everyone's dangerous this time of year. So everyone's been consistent all year. Everyone's played well enough to be in the top six. Yeah, you know, Saints, they win four in a row, three in a row, and you know, they missed out last year by a game. So you'd be a fool to think anything other than they're going to be ready to go this weekend. You know, Wellow's been there and done it for a number of years, so we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great challenge.
We've commentary on Five Sports Extra from 5:15.
This weekend on BBC Radio 5 Live.
Tomorrow, Manchester United take on Spurs on 5 Live Premier League Sunday.
And the ball does.
And today, there's updates from around the grounds, as well as live commentary of Arsenal versus Leicester at 3 and Wolves versus Liverpool at 5:30.
Kicks it up, left foot, oh, he scored!
5 Live Sports.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Saturday morning with Patrick Keelty.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Saturday morning on 5 Live. We're here until 11. The brilliant Pixie Lott is still with us. Her new album, Encino, released on the 27th of September. The second single from the album is called Midnight Trash. We've been talking music with Pixie. We've been talking how to get little Bubsies over to sleep in the middle of the night. We've been talking West Ham. West Ham, not the best start to the season, Pixie?
I know, it's a big shame as well, because I did some match predictions on the Premier League Instagram, and obviously I went with my team for the West Ham Chelsea match, but it didn't quite work out how we wanted.
It didn't work out. What I love is that whenever we were discussing Encino and Malibu, you were, the voice sounded slightly more American. Now we've got into West Ham. You are absolutely in the East End of London again here, Pixie. You're right back on.
No, I said the word suck That's an American word, though, isn't it? So I do take that.
It is an American word. So, look, what we're going to do, we're going to put your knowledge to the test in a little game, Pixie, that we call the Football Traitors. On the phone, Pixie, we've got three people who all claim to be West Ham fans like you. One of them, however, is a fake. Can you work out who the traitor is? Now, look, Pixie, the way it works, they don't tell me. I have no idea who the traitor is either. So, are you ready for this?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay, let's see if Pixie can weed out the phony. here's our three fans. First up, West Ham fan number one. Good morning, West Ham fan number one.
Morning, I'm Neil and I'm a West Ham fan.
I think he's a traitor.
it's the delay and the accent. Okay, so that's fan number one. That's put a smile on my face. Okay, here is West Ham fan number two, Pixie.
Morning, I'm Callum and I'm also a West Ham fan.
Ooh, very convincing, Callum.
You see. See, some of them, they double bluff, Pixie. They double bluff sometimes. So, and West Ham fan number three is?
I'm George. I'm a West Ham fan.
Oh, nice. Okay. Nice speaking voice.
Yes.
I'm going to go with my gut on this, and I think Neil is the traitor here.
Okay. Well, I mean, I have to say, as an opening gambit, it's either the best double bluff we've had in a while, or Neil potentially could be the traitor. But look, here's what we're going to do. We're not done yet. We're going to give you more of an idea. We're going to ask each contestant when they started supporting West Ham and why they started supporting West Ham. So let's go back to Neil. When and why did you start supporting West Ham?
If you can cast your minds back to 1975, FA Cup final, Fulham v West Ham, my old dad said, I'll tell you what, guys, let's pick a team each this year. And seeing as I was a spoilt little brat and got first go, I picked West Ham predominantly because they had the prettier colours.
Okay.
Neil has
maybe redeemed himself slightly. The same question to Callum. When and why did you start supporting West Ham?
So it probably would have been around 2004. My mum and my dad at the time separated, and a few months later we were moving down to London to live with my stepdad in Walthamstow. And to soften the blow, he bought me a season ticket, and from then on I didn't really have much of a choice, to be honest. And it was the playoff season as well, so it was all uphill that season.
A very realistic and gritty backstory for Callum. Finally, George, when and why did you start supporting West Ham?
So I started supporting West Ham probably around 15 years ago. I was in my second year of uni and I lived with two diehard West Ham fans. And we were battling to get back up into the Prem. It kind of got sealed when we beat Blackpool in the playoff final. We went back up. That was probably 2011, 2012 season.
Okay. What do we think now, Pixie? We've heard from Neil, Callum and George when and why they started supporting West Ham.
Right. George, that's a little bit unsure, I felt, that answer. Wasn't the most convincing. However, you have said that people love a double bluff.
Yeah.
So he might have added a few extra ums and ahs in there to kind of, you know, try and trick me.
Or it could have been a real story and he
kind of supports West Ham, and so he doesn't really... I don't know.
What do we think? What do we think of Neil's story with the nice colours, 1975?
I think it was a very nice story, very well told. But there's something in me that tells me that he is a Millwall fan.
Is there any particular reason for that?
No, it's just my gut is just telling me that. But obviously, I could be completely wrong.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome to Mystic Pixie, where Pixie just uses her intuition to work this out. Okay, what we're going to do, Pixie, we're going to ask each fan what their favourite West Ham memory is. Now, they normally have to give decent detail on this. This normally weeds them out. First up, Neil.
Right. Cast your minds back once again. It's 2004, playoff semi-final against Ipswich Town, second leg, 0-0 after the first leg. It's 0-0 at half-time. Things are getting a bit tense. Matt Etherington picks the ball up from a short corner, scores a 25-yard screamer. Crowd goes wild, the roof comes off, the lady to the right of me starts crying, the boy to the left of me wets himself, and I look up into the sky and I think, it's all about tonight.
Love it.
Oh, Neil, worth the admission fee alone. Same question to Callum, your favourite West Ham memory.
There's quite a lot to choose from, to be fair. I think the obvious one would be to lean back to that UEFA game. But I think, as a West Ham fan, most of the best memories actually aren't to do with the games. And I think the pre-match Upton Park experience for me is one that I cherish. Obviously, with my stepdad at the time, we'd sort of park up in Plasto, stop in at the Lord Stanley pub, walk down the alleyway, drop into Nathan's Pie and Mash, grab a pie, and then we go and sit in our seats at the Bobby Moore Upper, grabbing a programme en route. So it was sort of, it didn't really matter who we were playing. We'd do that routine every day. And yeah, it's something I'll cherish forever.
Lots of detail there that could be from the memory banks or Google Maps. Let's see what George's favourite West Ham memory is.
Yeah, mine's quite similar to Callum, actually. It was the first time I went to Upton Park. It was the beginning of the 2012-2013 season. And I went with the two lads who I'm still friends with from uni. And, yeah, just the experience around it, like going to the Berlin, having pints. Yeah, and then great result on the day. We beat Fulham 3-0. And Kev Nolan he scored in the first minute, which was amazing. So, yeah, I think just the experience around it was amazing. And that's my favourite memory.
Okay, another slightly spongy answer from George. Look, I'm not going to lie. I mean, Neil is a man of a certain vintage. I cannot believe it's not all Wembley 1980. Alan Devonshire, Trevor Brooking with the diving. Sorry, show me age. What do you think, Pixie? What do you reckon Neil, Callum and George's favourite West Ham memory?
It's a tough one because I feel like Callum is... I feel like he's the true West Ham fan here.
Mm.
And then I feel like George just copied Callum's answer. Anyway, I could have done that. But then it's a tricky one because if you know you're going on the show, you know you've got to talk about West Ham, you would be doing your research. And if you're a fan, you'd think, I don't really need to do my research. I just talk from the heart. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, we've got the thought process. We need a name. Who is the traitor? Is it Neil? Is it Callum or is it George, Pixie?
The thing is, Neil tells the story fantastically. He's got the passion there. He's got the good storytelling. I'm invested.
Good detail about the little boy wetting himself.
The detail was fantastic. I loved listening to it. But I'm going to go and think that he's a double bluffer here.
Oh.
Although I think I'm wrong. Oh, no. It's a tough one.
You're going for?
Between Neil and George, but I'm going to go with... it could be George, actually, couldn't it? What do you think?
I don't know. They don't tell me.
Okay, I'm going to say... I think Neil, because I think George is too obvious. That's what I'm going.
Okay, we've locked it in. You've gone with Neil. It's a brave decision. Could the traitor please reveal themselves? Who is the West Ham fake?
Hi, I'm caller number 3, George, and I'm a football trainer.
Oh!
It was too obvious!
Sorry, Pixie!
I feel really bad on Neil now. I'm so sorry, Neil. You're just so good. I thought you were too good to be true.
Dear, oh dear, Pixie. And Callum, with all of the detail of going into Upton Park they thought was from Google Maps, a proper West Ham fan. George the Trader, Neil and Callum are the West Ham fans. Thank you so, so much, Pixie, for being such a good sport, for playing along. Pixie's fourth album, Encino, is released on the 27th of September. The second single is out now, Midnight Trash. Pixie, thank you so, so much.
Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep me hanging on.
We're playing this for my next guest, who's a comedian and actor, a writer, a star of the E4 sitcom Drifters. She's graced her screens in The Inbetweeners, Alan Partridge, Alpha Papa, Avoidance, Ghosts, and so much more. She's back with a brand new podcast called Perfect Day, in which her guests dream about their ideal morning, their afternoon and night. And we're so sorry that she has to pretend that her perfect day involves getting up to join me on this show this morning. Hello, Jessica Knappett.
No, you took the words right out of my mouth, Patrick. I was going to say, it's already begun. Here we are.
Here we are. And I have to, what I love was, I'm not sure what I love more, was Pixie playing Football Traders, because I, or seeing your face, just go, no.
I knew it was George straight away.
No,
I knew
you didn't. You thought it was Callum. You thought it was...
Did I?
The guy in the middle.
Oh, the guy in the middle. Yes, no, sorry, I got his name wrong. No, I was convinced it was the guy in the middle. No, it was a tough game. Do you know what? It was a tough round. I don't know anything about West Ham whatsoever, but I know a liar when I hear one. Or do I?
You say that. So look, tell us a little bit about the podcast. Tell us the people you've had on, how weird and wonderful their perfect days actually are.
Yeah, well, I'm really fortunate to have met and worked with a lot of comedians and famous funny people. And so I get to ask them the question, what's your perfect day? What would constitute your perfect morning, afternoon and night? And in telling me that, we also find out how it compares to their normal day, how weird that might be or not. And it's been really interesting. We've had Romesh Ranganathan on. You know, that was my first episode. Did I talk a lot about the night I'd had before? Yes. Was half of the episode taken up with me talking about Magic Mike Live? Yes. But eventually we did start talking about his perfect day.
Can I just check that the night before was Magic Mike, or were those just two separate nights?
That was just me talking about my perfect night. No, I had it had been my 40th birthday party the night before, but because Romesh is so busy, you see, I had to interview him in that allocated window.
You say busy. I think that was just
him. Seen him anything.
That was just him pulling the big one.
Probably.
That was like, I'm a huge star now.
Oh, yeah, it was a power move.
It's the power move. I'm going to make her get up. So what sort of state were you in?
Oh, it was bad. It was I was hoarse, but it was great, and we got off to a good start. And then, you know, we've had Dolly Alderton, we've had my Taskmaster pal Phil Wang, Emerald Fennell as well, who is an Oscar winning movie director. So it's not just comedians.
Love a bit of Emerald.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she's fabulous, isn't she?
Know her mum and dad.
Know
our mum and dad.
Oh, the jewellery designer Theo Fennell you're talking about there.
I mean,
I can't see you in Theo Fennell. He was Elton John's jewellery designer, famously. I can't see you in Theo Fennell jewellery, but maybe I've got you all wrong.
Hang on a second. You know, You're confusing the fact that I could have friends that has got nothing to do with the freebie. I just know them. Like I know what you're saying. You're thinking that a diamond encrusted, yet 2-inch cross isn't really my look. How dare you?
No, you're absolutely right. And you just never know, do you? You just never know. You can't wear it on air, of course, because of all the clanging. But as soon as you leave this room, you're popping your diamond encrusted crucifix on. If I have you right,
I would just love the fact that is true. That I've also got people that are just holding it for me. That I just slip it in and go back to my real persona. Bam 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 bam. Oh dear!
Good
oh dear!
Stuff.
So look, what do people normally do? Do they go for, because when you ask people what their death row dinner is, and you think it's going to be extravagant, and then sometimes it just turns into an ordinary home comfort.
It's grandma's cottage pie.
Yeah.
Well, it's very much the grandma's cottage pie of the podcast world.
Is that on the?
Do you know what? It's funny that we haven't used that as a tagline, but we've found it now, haven't we? And I'm sticking with it.
The diamond encrusted granny's cottage pie of the podcast world.
It is scattergun in the same way that this conversation is.
This is a highly researched and structured chat.
Yeah, and it does have a formula: morning, afternoon, and night. Mm. But it has surprised me because people do tend to talk about the smaller things, pottering around the house, lounging around a little bit of a gossip with a friend here, or a walk on a cold, windy beach there. That's Amy Gledhill.
Does any of them start with a cold pint and a Wetherspoons at 6:30 in a regional airport?
Would that be yours, Patrick?
Oh, I tell you what, is that not the start of a perp? In my diamond encrusted.
Do you know what I think you'd love Leeds Bradford Airport.
Oh, now you're talking.
You would really find your people there, actually.
I have to say, I've been through that airport and I've also stayed at that airport.
I don't think it's got a hotel. So something must have gone wrong there.
Well, the benches are very comfortable. And the duty free sells a diamond encrusted crucifix at a very reasonable price. Talk to me. Does air guitar appear at any point in anybody's perfect day, or is that just something that happens in your house?
That's just what Patrick's referring to there is the fact that I am married to an international competitive air guitarist. Funnily enough, we unfortunately couldn't attend the Worlds this year. That's the World Air Guitar Championships that take place, of course, in Oulu, Finland. Every year, usually my husband presents those, but he didn't do it this year.
Okay, can you give me the fake excuse that you used for not attending those this year?
I'm busy that day.
You see that. You see, this is the difference between talking to a friend and talking to someone you're married to, which is, if it was a friend, you see, I can't do that because I'm actually recording this show, which is really important. I can't do it.
Oh, no, you know how it is with schedules. You find out last minute, don't you? And you just have to be, it's just so annoying. I'm busy that day.
Once you're married, I'm busy. Get on with it. I don't even like guitar, let alone air guitar.
You do it. Do you know what? It's a really, obviously, a very funny watch, and I would highly recommend people just pop along, pop it into YouTube and watch those idiots going for it. Because once you stop, actually, when you watch it, for an extended period of time, you do start to appreciate the skill involved. And I mean that. The best heckle I heard when I was watching the Air Guitar Championships was a guy behind me shouted, "Where's your guitar?" And he meant it. He meant it because the mime was not appropriate enough. Convincing enough.
What I love is that you actually tried to save this whenever you go back home and talk this through with your other half by saying, it is really, there is talent involved. You see, at the end of it, yeah, I said there was talent.
Yeah, it was a save.
It was a save.
I saved my marriage at the end of this interview.
So, where can we catch this podcast? Who is in the next episode? Do they all drop at one time? Am I allowed to use the word drop? I'm in my 50s.
Well, you've done it now.
Yeah.
They drop every Thursday on all your podcast platforms. The next guest is the Edinburgh Award winner, Amy Gledhill. Check it out.
There you go. That's how you do the plug, folks. Jessica Knappett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming in. Jessica's brand new podcast, Perfect Day, is available to stream and download where you get yours. Still to come, Dermot O'Leary is going to be here in about 20 minutes' time. We're going to be playing Beat the Commentator with John Murray. And Gemma Hayes is in the Five Live Lounge. All after your latest news and sport. It's 10 o'clock.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
With the BBC News on 5 Live, I'm Giuliano Cazadane. The breaking news this hour, Israel says it's killed the leader of Hezbollah in a strike on their headquarters in southern Beirut. Hezbollah have yet to respond, but sources say the group had lost contact with its leader since yesterday's attack. Our correspondent John Donison is in Jerusalem.
The Israeli military has confirmed that Hassan Nasrallah has been eliminated, to use their term, and I think it's a hugely significant and dangerous moment. Israel has vowed to defeat Hezbollah. It is in effect now at war with Hezbollah and taking out its leader, who has been in charge of the powerful Iranian-backed militia group in Lebanon for decades, is really, really worrying. I mean, I think up until this point, Israel has made the calculation that Iran, who backs, funds, founded Hezbollah, is not ready to get directly involved in a full-scale war with Israel. But the killing of Hassan Nasrallah is going to put that theory to the test. All morning, we've had barrages of rockets being fired out of southern Lebanon, and just after the moment when the confirmation from Israel's side saying that Hassan Nasrallah has been killed, we heard explosions pretty close to where we are here in Jerusalem. Just on the skyline behind me, we saw what looked like a Hezbollah rocket being shot down by Israel's missile defense system. That's something we've not seen in Jerusalem in the last few weeks. So it does seem that Hezbollah is pushing forward now, launching rockets further into Israel. Whether that is in direct response to what Israel has said about the killing of Hassan Nasrallah, we don't know, but certainly the next few hours and days are going to be very concerning.
That's our correspondent John Donison, who's in Jerusalem. In the last few minutes, the IDF's chief of staff, Lieutenant General Hirsi Halevi, has put out a video message. I'll share some of the quotes from that video. He says, "The message is very clear. Whoever threatens Israeli citizens, we know how to get them in the